Welcome to the Loft Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and that it ignites in you a hunger for more of God's presence in your life.
I really want to start with just, you know, Jack and Shelley are on my heart. So it's last Sunday was awfully fun, wasn't it?
Yes.
Just to fellowship together. And I was talked to a few people and said, hey, it wasn't a funeral. You know, they were alive and they were there. And we got to love them and fellowship and see people we hadn't seen. And it was awesome. And then we got together yesterday, some of us, and had breakfast. And, you know, now they're on the road and they're heading out of the state. And that's kind of weird. You know, it's a little different. It's like my brother, moving on. I've known Jack, I figured out, 43 years I've known him. I officially really met Jack. I'm going to tell you a little story. Is that all right? Just kind of. So I was at New Hope because I grew up there. And I was about 17 in Dennis Hayes's youth group. And I got a call from someone. I think it was Dennis, or it might have been Jack. Hey, Jack needs a tow. He's broke down off 172nd and Foster, and you know, he needs someone to help him. Is there any chance you could help him? And I said, yeah, I can go tow him. No problem. I got a truck, I got a tow rope. So I went out, and sure enough, there's Jack on the side of his road. And back then, Jack was pretty pudgy, and he had quite the hairdo. He looked like a star. I was 17. He was 19. And so there he was on the side of the road. And I'd seen him some before, but we'd never had really too much close contact. But he needed some help, and I was able to. Someone got a hold of me somehow. You know, that was way before cell phones. Way. And so I went out there, and sure enough, there he was. And his car's all broke down. It won't run. And he doesn't know what to do. And I said, I got you, Jack. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, no problem. We can tow you over there. And so I hook up his little Fiero, and I've got a six banger Ford, and I'm going to tow him. And I think, oh, it's probably just around the corner. Well, I got to tow him clear almost to I-84 in Gresham from 172nd Foster on all the back roads up, around, and down. And the tow rope's only like 12 feet. And you got to take like four of that to hook up. So he's about 8 feet off my bumper. And he's nervous. And I tell him, Jack, don't worry. You know? And I've towed a few people, but never, like, you know. I don't know if it's going to work out, but I'm making him believe it is. You know? I'm selling it good. And so, you know, I hook him up. I tell him, hey, just stay to the side so you can kind of see around so you don't feel like you're going to run into me. And when you see my brake lights, you know, tap your brakes lightly so you don't run into my bumper. So we start going, you know, and I'm towing. And, you know, it's only a six banger in my truck, you know, so it's not a very big motor. And, like, it's hard. It's a tiny car. It's a Fiero. You remember those little tiny things? Bright red. He thought he was cool, man. Yeah. So I'm towing him, and I can barely tow him. And so I pull over after like just a little ways, and I'm like, hey, Jack, is your emergency brake? And he's like, oh, no, I have the brake on, like you said. And I said, no, only when you see my brake lights. Because otherwise, you know, it's not going to work. Your brakes are. So anyway, long story short, we get over there, and he is sweating. I mean, like, he looks like he took a shower because he's so scared getting towed over there. But we get there, and one of the, I think it was the front right, is, like, smoking. And actually, the wheel metal had caught on fire. Because he stayed on those brakes like the whole entire time over there because he was so scared. So not only did he have to pay for the thing to get fixed, but he had to get all the brakes replaced and the rotors. And so that was Jack and I. You know, and I was thinking about that, and that was me knowing Jack at a time in my life where I had professed Christ as my Savior, but my heart wasn't really in it yet or at that time. You know, I accepted Jesus when I was 8 years old, and at 9 years old, I smoked pot for the first time. So, you know, that was like, that was pretty early, you know? I mean, even for today's standards, you know, nine's pretty young. I went over to a friend's at lunch, and the mom gave us pot and smoked it, and I liked it. I liked the way it made me feel, you know? So that was the beginning of kind of a separation from God, even though I'd asked him into my heart. When I believe at 8 years old, when I asked him, I was saved, you know, and that he came into my heart. But I didn't pursue him. I pursued other stuff on and off through the years. And so at 17, you know, I was still on and off when I knew Jack then. And there's a story in the Bible that talks about the wedding feast, you know, where everyone's invited, right? And Jesus is talking to the religious rulers at the beginning of that story. And he's the king. Well, he's in the story, the king is his son's getting married, and they're having a big feast and a big party, and all the people, the religious people, are invited, or all the, and so that he goes out, he sends people out to invite the people to come, and they all reject him. Like, they're all like, I'm too busy, I got this to do, I got that. So the chosen ones rejected him. So the king says, well, go out and get other, you know, get people, fill this place up. So they go into the highways and byways, and the Bible says they get the good and the bad, and they come to the feast. And so the feast takes place, and during the feast, like toward the end of that story, the king comes in and he sees a guy that's not in the wedding garments. And he's like, how'd you get in here? He's like, well, I just, you know, I came in with everyone, like, you know, I came in. And he's like, you don't have the right attire on. You're not dressed in wedding clothes. You're not dressed right. And he orders the guards to bind him and throw him out of the wedding. And I always wondered, like, what is that story about? That's wild, man. Well, the guy wasn't in the right attire for the wedding. And the analogy for me is that everyone's invited to heaven. We're all invited. But there's a gate. There's a gate you got to go through. There's a way to get into heaven. There's a way that you do it, and you put on Christ, and you let him rule your heart, and he changes who you are, and you become a son or a daughter of God, and the fruits in your life begin to show that you're a son or daughter of God. Well, at 17, the fruits in my life weren't showing that I was a son or daughter of God. Yeah, I helped people. I was kind. I was this, that, but I wasn't following after God. I was the guy getting thrown out because I had the wrong attire on. I didn't come through the right gate. I just thought it. I just wanted it. I didn't do the putting on of Christ. I didn't, like, let him rule my heart and let him change me and conform me into his likeness. I didn't do it. And so, you know, Jack knew me then, and I knew Jack then. And then later I went to prison at 20-something, 22, 23, and I knew Jack then, you know, but I went into prison, and in prison, I, like, walked up to the gate, and I looked at it, you know, and I, like, and then I stepped through it by reading my Bible, by spending time with Jesus. I mean, my plan was to kill myself. That was my plan, because I was hopeless. I didn't have any hope. I was done. There was no hope for me changing. That was the ultimate plan for me. But God knew that there was something different and he used my choices, my bad choices, everything that had culminated up to that point. You know, and everyone in the world would have looked at me and gone, oh, this guy, yeah, probably best. Just kill yourself. You suck. You know, you've tried everything. Obviously, nothing's going to work. Everyone I knew in life had given up on me except for my mom, pretty much, maybe my dad. And I had too. But God saw me. God saw that moment. God was excited. He's like, get there, come on. You know, tell yourself you're going to kill yourself. Do all that. Get there. Because he's excited. I'm coming to the point. I'm coming to the gate. I'm coming to where I'm going to put on the clothes of heaven. I'm going to have the right attire for the feast. I'm not going to get thrown out. I'm going to start having fruit that comes from the kingdom because I actually put on Christ and he put me on. So, you know, I made a deal with God instead of killing myself that, you know, I'm the original Give Him 15 guy. If you guys ever listen to Dutch Sheets, I'm the original, so he stole it from me. Because in that cell that night, you know, I said, God, I'll read my Bible 5 minutes. Well, he said, read your Bible, you know, pray and write every day. And I'm like, ah, oh, geez. How long? He's like, 5 minutes. Can you do 5 minutes? I'm like, yeah, I can do 5 minutes. No problem. So I did. I opened up the Bible that night and read it for 5 minutes and prayed for 5 minutes and wrote for 5 minutes. And then I did it every day after that for years. 5, 10, 15, see? Give him 15. And he can use it. If your heart, if you're thinking with your heart, God wants us to think with our heart. I had a good friend in the past that taught on that, that we have brain matter on our hearts. He would talk about transplants and how someone got a transplant and they never drank and all of a sudden they wanted beer and they wanted to ride a motorcycle fast and all this stuff and found out that the person's heart that they had gotten liked to drink beer and rode motorcycles fast. And then found out that our heart actually has a memory, like the ability. It's a matter of the heart. God wants our hearts. He doesn't want our heads. He wants our hearts because once he gets our heart, our head will follow. As long as we're consistent with him day by day, he will walk us down that journey of transformation. And then those fruits will begin to be produced naturally. You don't even have to work. See, I know, you guys know this, but I'm just excited about it right now that salvation is a free gift. But there is a requirement. You have to accept it, and then you got to walk through the gate, and Christ is the gate. He says it in his word, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he wants us to enter into his kingdom, but there's that requirement. We have to go through the gate. We have to do it right. We can't just flippantly say a prayer and think with our head. No, we have to put on Christ. And he puts us on. And then things change, and it's amazing. So, yeah, I got out of prison, and I worked my butt off in prison. Like, because everything else had failed, right? I did 6 treatment centers. You guys know the story. You've heard it. I successfully graduated 6 times from alcohol and drug treatment. I mean, come on. You know, there was no hope. I mean, how do you successfully graduate six times? You try number seven, whatever. It didn't work for me exactly. But I got out of prison, and I wasn't sure if I'd make it. I didn't know because I hadn't. You know, inside, I got offered drugs every day. My best friend was one of my best friends was a great artist, but he smoked weed all the time, and they drank, and you know. So every day I was offered, and every day I said no, but he kept offering, and I kept saying no. So I had some idea that I could say no, you know, even on the inside. And then I got out. And I had done all the work in there. Like, I'd actually studied the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And it changed me, my heart and my understanding of who Jesus was so much that I wanted to keep pursuing that. And it just, what a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I did a 500-hour drug program. I emceed for the graduation for that drug program to an audience at least this size of all inmates. Like 250 or 300 inmates came to the first graduation of this thing, and I was the MC. I'd never done anything like that, ever. But I did it, and it was fun to just share with people stories and the truth and stuff. So I got out, and kept pursuing God, and my life, you know, is wonderful today. It's, you know, I met Nancy, but the story of Jack in there. So in 1999, Nancy and I were the administrator, or I was the administrator over the youth at New Hope. They'd lost their youth pastor. And they asked me if I would come and do that. And I'm like, I've never done anything. You want me to be a youth leader over 100 plus youth kids? All right. Sure. But Elisa, who was here, who was Jack's administrator, was my administrator. And she was amazing. She made me look good all the time. So I was administering the youth while they were looking, you know, hoping to get a youth pastor. We planned a youth camp up in Wallowa Lake. What a beautiful place. So we went up there. Well, I wanted to have a special speaker there, and I was thinking, who could I, you know, who? And I thought of Jack. So I called him up. Hey, Jack, could you speak at this youth camp? I don't know, maybe. But he got right back to me. Yeah, I can come. I'll bring my trailer. He was in Missouri, and he drove out, came and did the youth camp. Jill and George Deichel did all the food. They're people that used to come here. And it was amazing. And I have some, not this Bible, but other Bible, I have some notes of things that Jack said in there. And it was 1999, and it was awesome. So he goes back to Missouri, and I'm back at New Hope in my office. And Dennis and I were talking, and, you know, we're praying for a youth leader. We don't know who it's supposed to be. And then God's like, how about Jack? I'm like, oh, Dennis, how about Jack? And he's like, I'll call him. I don't think he'll, you know, he might not do it, but yeah, I'll call him. Called Jack up, and Jack came. He said yes, and he came from Missouri back to New Hope to be the youth pastor, and that was awesome, super awesome. That God connected me and Jack in that way, you know, like in a spiritual way that is special to my heart, and used me in the process of having him come back. And then a few years later, Jack had left New Hope, and you've heard the story. They were, you know, down at their house, and Jack was alienated from church and all and everything, and Nancy and I went and said, hey, I think you're supposed to start a church, Jack. And he's like, I don't want to hear that. And, you know, God used him to start the body of One by One. And it was amazing in their house. And, you know, and we would just have been with them since and got very close over the last 20 or so years. And, you know, our families grew up together. And so I guess a part of me is pretty sad today. And I was trying to figure out kind of what was up with me. And I kind of finally figured it out that I'm going to miss Jack, you know, and Shelly. And, but I'm excited too, because I really feel like God has some things for Jack and Shelly that they can't even imagine with their grandkids and with ministry and with just this whole different life that they've never lived, that they're like these free birds, you know, like just out of the cage and on this adventure, and that it's going to be amazing for them. And I feel the same way about the loft. Like, we're on this adventure, and like, it's a brand new day, you know, like, not that we've been in a cage or anything, but just that we're at the beginning of this new adventure that's going to be amazing, because God's amazing and he's our father and he loves us. Yeah. Love you, Jack. Father God, I pray you be with Jack and Shelly as they travel today and tomorrow and over the next few days. God, thank you for Jack and Shelly. Thank you for their family. Thank you for their love for each and every person in this room and how they've affected every one of our lives in such an amazing way. Thank you for those seeds that have been planted in our hearts because Jack and Shelly said yes and followed after you very hard. And I give you the praise and the glory for them and their lives, their sacrifice, their commitment. And Father, I just pray that this next 20 or 30 years of their life will be the best ever, that they will just be so blessed, Holy Spirit, financially, physically, spiritually. Bless their families, God. Bless those grandkids and their children. And renew their hearts and their mind, Father, Jack and Shelly. Just, I pray for excitement in their hearts for this adventure that they're on. And that they'll even fall more in love with each other and with you. And we can't wait to hear amazing stories from their journeys. Thank you for Jack and Shelly and all the Shoemates. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I guess I'll just say one more thing real quick. I'm not going to get to any of my topic, but God had a different design, I guess, in this moment. I didn't know any of that before I came up here and started talking. I didn't have a clue that that was going to come out of my mouth. Wow. So, just a couple thoughts for you as you go down the journey of life. Are you who you think you are? Just something to think about, like maybe write about it, ask God about it. Does your brain run your life? On the first question, one of the answers for me is, you know, are you who you think you are? Well, that's an interesting question. And I think that the answer that I'm kind of getting for myself is that I am the fruits of my actions, really. That's who I really am. Like, what I do is who I am. Like, the things that I actually perform, the things that I actually do, like, if I do like something sacrificial for someone, that's part of who I am. Like, We went to my brother's a couple weeks ago and just and built a deck for him because we love him. Not to get paid. We didn't get paid. We just went and did it. So that's kind of part of who I am, is I like to do those kind of things. My brain wants me to think I'm someone else because our brains are the playground of the devil. That's where the gateways that he'll enter into our thinking and then corrupt our heart, and then we'll do actions that don't line up with who we are as children of God. God wants us to think with our heart. He wants us to perform his heavenly will out of abundance of our heart. He doesn't want me or you necessarily to act out of the flesh. He wants us to act out of the spirit, and the spirit is connected with the heart, and the heart can overrule the mind. Life is a matter of the heart. We got to think with our heart. And to close, I'll read this, because my topic today was God is love, and I'll talk about it maybe at family camp or something. But 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5, you know, one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it's not boastful, love is not arrogant, love is not rude, love is not self-seeking, love is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. So that's some of what love is. And that's for us from our Father. And as I'm reading that, love is patient. Are you patient? It's okay. Don't beat yourself up. If you're not, that's the devil. Rejoice, you know, that God is these things. And because you're his child, you also have the ability to be all of these things. But the devil doesn't want us to think that we can be these. It's way beyond our reach. You know, for me, the one, love is not irritable. I kind of went, oh, boy. Woo, major failure. If you come to work with me. See, that's all a bunch of garbage. I mean, that's not who we are, right? That's Satan's kingdom coming right out of my mouth and tricking me. And I don't want to be tricked anymore. You know? I want to walk in love. So I want to understand the God of love, God who is love. I want to understand that. I want to understand him. I want to understand what that means. And I want to know how I access that. And so as I'm going down this journey, because that's the great command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And your neighbor as yourself. I want to understand how to do that. So that's where I'm going to be parked for a while, is learning about that. And as I learn, hopefully I'll have some good things to share with all of us. So let's just stand up real quick. Or slow, whatever. Father God, I thank you for this family. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in us and among us. And Father, I just pray that even today, even before we go, if you give us a word for each other, we'd be free to speak that word into each other's heart. If we have a prayer to share with one another, that we'd share that prayer before we walk out of this place. And Lord, I just pray as we go through our week this week, that you would keep us on each other's hearts, and that we would lift each other up, that we would call each other, that we would go eat a meal, that whatever it is, God, that we would just be connected with each other through the Spirit and physically throughout this week. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters. And thank you, Jesus, that you are the firstborn among many brothers, and that we get to follow after you. You're perfect and beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you were inspired by today's message, be sure to hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about The Loft or for gathering times and locations, you can check out our website at www.theloftnw.org or find us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll join us again next time.